The following broadcast is a production of the Ministries of Marcus A. Kyler. We pray this message is both inspirational and transformational. For more information about Marcus, please visit marcusakyler.com. For more information about the communications consulting services he can provide for your ministry or nonprofit organization, please visit yourdigitalpastor.co. Thank you for listening. And be blessed.
Look, I get it. You need a friend, a guide, a shepherd to help you navigate the ever-changing digital ministry landscape while, at the same time, encouraging you to keep going. I'm that guy. I'm your man, Marcus, and I am your digital pastor.
The YouVersion Bible verse of the day comes from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, from the Contemporary English Version. So always trust the Lord, because He is forever our mighty rock. So, just like with the word therefore, if I see that at the beginning of an isolated verse, of course I'm going to go back in context immediately. And see what we're talking about here. And so in Isaiah 26, in the book of Isaiah, now we have the Israelites who are now a divided people between the northern and southern kingdom, Judah and Jerusalem, that now make up Israel. And they are, they are in captivity. They are in a period of punishment that God will deliver them from, but they are in a place of punishment and for the time being. But this is the subtitles which were added to different texts over the years, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading. And so it says at the beginning of this section, it says a song of victory. And so the first verse starts out and it says, the time is coming when the people of Judah will sing this song. And verses 1, 2, and 3, give us our context. Our city is protected. The Lord is our fortress. He gives us victory. Verse 2, open the city gates for a law-abiding nation that is faithful to God. Verse 3, the Lord gives perfect peace to those whose faith is firm. And then to verse 4, so always trust the Lord, because He is forever our mighty rock. That's so true, man. I mean, we always have to trust God, and even when we find ourselves, and it says the people of Judah here. So this is the kingdom of Judah, the divided kingdom of Judah this time. Even when they find themselves, in a season of punishment, in a season of captivity, we still have to trust God, even in our worst situations. What has God ever done that we cannot trust Him? He's always been there for us, and He always will be there for us, even though we might have to go through what we have to go through.
In the meantime.
Y'all know me. I'm always playing, tinkering around with stuff. Y'all know I love my tools, my digital tools. Well, here's the tool of the week.
So my tool of the week this week is Twitter. Yes, Twitter. And that's because they have added a new feature, a quote unquote new feature this week. And it is being able to go live audio only. So so we know that Facebook actually allowed you to do this for a while, but they disabled that. I only know of one person who I know who is able to do the audio only broadcasts. And I think it was a very good thing when they had it Prayerfully, Facebook will bring that back one day. I thought that was a good feature, but for whatever reason, it decided to kill it for the time being. But Twitter has picked it up, and so if you try to go live on Twitter right now, and I guess if you still use the Periscope app, I'm guessing that that you can do the same. But if you go live from Twitter right now, if you press the microphone little icon that is on the screen that you you type your tweet into before you go live, there's a microphone that's there on the screen, and if you press that, then then your whatever whatever's in your screen, whatever the camera picks up, will go blank, and then you'll just see a waveform that will just have the waveform of your voice on there, whatever, and then you'll be doing audio only. What I think I'm gonna start using it for, and I just found out about this, I guess, a couple days ago, so I haven't even used it yet, but I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna use it for. Sometimes you just want to, and I've been hoping and praying that Twitter will allow you to do voice tweets for a long time, but they've never really added the feature, and this is probably the closest thing to it. Because what I can imagine that I'll be using this for, what I absolutely will use this for, is if I just have something I want to say, and I'm not necessarily going live for for the same purpose of going live that you would if you're not really, when you're going live, you're asking people, you want people to join you. You know, it's a community building type thing. You're asking people to join you. You want people to hear what you have to say real time, and you want them to chime in and everything like that. But what I can imagine, I'll be using the go live audio only feature for, is I'm not going to necessarily be asking people to come live, join me live on Twitter right now. I'm just gonna fire the thing up and just say a few words here and there if I have something to say that I don't necessarily want to tweet out, and that's gonna be basically just my audio tweet for that moment. Because it's gonna be live, and it's gonna be something that people can chime in on it, but I don't anticipate being on long enough the majority of the time that I will be using the audio only go live feature. I don't anticipate being on long enough to where people are going to be coming in and to where I will be engaging with them with the audio only. Now if it's video, then it's a whole different thing. But sometimes you just want to say something on audio real quick, like I have morning thoughts that before I go to the gym, on my few minutes that it takes me to get to the gym in the morning, I have morning thoughts, and I'll probably be at adding those morning thoughts. I'll probably be using those morning thoughts as a voice tweet every once in a while, and that'll be a good way for me to do that. So the audio only feature for going live on Twitter is my tool of the week, and I pray that it is something that that you would find helpful in your content creation. All right, so I wanted to share with you all this week an interview that I did with my friend and my brother, Pastor Kellen Brooks of Pentecostal Temple Church of God in Christ in Inkster, Michigan. And he's a friend of mine from Ashland Theological Seminary. And I don't even know why I'm saying this in this intro right now, because you'll hear it in the interview. But But yeah, I wanted to bring this interview to you because this was an interview that I actually did back in the earlier part of the year as I was preparing for the workshop that I did for digital ministry at my Doctor of Ministry alma mater, Ecumenical Theological Seminary in the city of Detroit. And this was actually a Facebook Live broadcast. And so, you know, I just had him on for a few minutes just to talk about some of the things that that I was able to do for him. And it served two purposes. One, it gave people, you know, some ideas of some things that you could do as far as promoting the things that you're doing in your ministry and using the tools that we have at our disposal, you know, whether it's live broadcasts or other types of tools that we have to be able to do that. And what I was specifically promoting for him was his book, his first book. And you'll hear this in the interview. And so we're just talking about the different things that I was doing for him to promote the book, to launch it, and to, you know, to really help him to, you know, build a lane for him as far as where he could take that in his ministry. And the second purpose that it served, I was, you know, I had the opportunity to do this workshop, but not only was I supplying people with this, with you know, information about digital ministry, over a 2 day period, but it was also basically, to be very honest with you, an advertisement for my services, for some of the things that, that I can bring to the table, as your digital pastor. And so, you know, it was my prayer that with that would be, you know, something that people would pay attention to, you know, when they, you know, they may be, you know, hearing this information or watching this information right now, you know, as a part of, you know, the workshop, but when they need help, when they have their own project that they're trying to launch, and they may need somebody to help guide them through the process, then God might just bring me to their remembrance, and you know, bring me in, and then I can, you know, help them with that. And so yes, it definitely served two purposes, and I wanted to bring this interview to the podcast, even though I did it you know, way back in January of this year, and we're now, you know, as of the recording of this podcast, we're now in September. I wanted to bring it to you just because, you know, this is, you know, definitely a big part of digital ministry is you know, launch strategies and platform building off of those launch strategies. And so, so this is something I pray will be able to bless you. And some information that I pray you'll be able to use to help you in your ministry. And just as I said before, you know, if you you know, feel like you need a guide, you know, to walk you through this process, then I'm definitely your man. So you could definitely holler at me. And so without further ado, here is the interview. Come on, y'all, let's get to the money. And now for our feature presentation.
I'm on the line right now with my friend and my brother, Pastor Kellen Brooks of Pentecostal Temple Church of God in Christ.
That's right, PT.
Yeah, Pentecostal Temple Church of God in Christ in Inkster, Michigan. We went to school together at Ashland Theological Seminary, and he has definitely been a friend of mine for many years, and always been a man of high character and high integrity, and definitely always someone who's been very encouraging to me in my ministry. I wanted to bring him on today to talk about what we were able to do together to using social media to help him to get his book published and promoted, and kind of help him to kind of promote his platform a little bit through the book. So can you just in a few minutes kind of walk us through or talk about the book and just yeah. about a little bit about what we did?
For sure. Yeah. Well, a couple of years ago, I wrote a book entitled Unsuccessfully Single. And I happen to have one right here, Unsuccessfully Single, Surefire Ways to Sabotage Your Single Life. And I kind of wrote it as a more of a satire and a comical approach to common ideas and conventional wisdom surrounding dating and singleness, and how a lot of what is prevalent today and really fed through music, media, TV shows, all that stuff, really sabotages our single life. And so the goal of this book was to expose those ideas that have become commonplace and show people an alternative to really living a successfully single life. So that was the premise of the book, and it was fun to write. And I even, you know, it was more fun getting the artwork done from a comrade in Russia. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, man, I mean, it was great to put together, and many doors have opened as a result of that. From speaking at churches to like doing book signings to speaking at actually bookstores and you know, doing events, you know, of that nature. So yeah, it was cool, man. And you know, you came right alongside and really helped to push it. And I feel like I'm starting to see more fruit from that, even in these the recent years of doing the book. So yeah, man, it's been good. It's been really good.
Very good. Very good. A few things I wanted to highlight. One thing that that we're talking about at the workshop is the importance of community, and really surrounding as many people as possible in your efforts. You know, whatever it is that you're trying to do, you know, trying to get as many people as possible to walk alongside you. So. You know, one thing that I did or suggested to you, you know, it conceptually, not even just from a social media standpoint, but just one thing I suggested, if you could remember, I was suggesting that you could possibly bring on a person to do a foreword for the book.
Yeah.
Right. And
And
do you remember why I asked you to do that or suggested it?
Well, you know what, that you suggested the foreword, and something else you suggested I want to add to that was a team of intercessors to pray for you while you're going through this process, which was invaluable. That could seem like on the outset it's like that's, you know, that's the spiritual work, but man, that helps break so much ground and give you some you know, gravity and grace to really move forward, man. But yeah, with the foreword, you know, you have another person who is a person of influence to kind of put their brand and stamp of approval on it. And I feel like you get to ride their influence a little further out beyond what you could do on your own. And so definitely that's what the forward did for me. I had my friend, Pastor Terrence Lachey out of Grand Rapids. Who's been pastoring for some time, works and missions, does a lot of work in Grand Rapids as well. And yeah, to have his name on it was definitely a help. And he was one of the people who actually helped open doors for me to have publicity for the book, to have platforms to teach on it. And I would say a lot of my success has come from being connected to him. So, yeah, just doing that forward opened up so many more doors for the success of the book.
That's very good. That's very good. Very happy to hear that. And yeah, that's one thing that definitely wanted to highlight, because you know, in anything that we do, you know what I'm saying, if we do it together, if we put our resources together and we invite other people into the process, it's always something that's far more powerful than what we try to do on our own. And that's something that works not just for social media, but it's a concept really that works across the board. And so so I definitely wanted to highlight that. Also, wanted to look at just what we were able to do with the live broadcasts. think we did a a few of those. If you wanted to talk about that real quick.
For sure, yeah. So we did a book signing here at the church, and with the book signing, we also did like flyers to say, hey, you know, we're going live, live book signing this day and time, and which was a lot of fun because then we really got to expand our audience beyond the people who were present there. And my really my biggest desire wasn't to have such a large audience or gathering there, but to at least have a platform to really reach out to more people. So going live was perfect because, I mean, it enabled us to talk to a wider range of people. And then it kind of builds that community aspect as well. People feel like they're a part of something, like this is happening right now. This is big, it's exciting. And it's something that I've seen done with other people who are launching books. And it just seems to be another method, really, to get your name out there and bring some more attention to the book. So, yeah, I would highly encourage it.
Yeah, and you mentioned this was a few years ago. This is now 2018. So we did this back in 2016, right?
2016. So much has changed.
So much has changed since then. And that was my point. Exactly, was it's even easier to go live now than it ever has been. And I remember, when we were putting it together, I remember we had a website for the book. And so, not only did I have you go live, but I tried to take the embed code off of that and place it onto your website so that anybody can see that. That wasn't necessarily the easiest thing because some people could kind of see it, some people kind of couldn't, and it was kind of wonky. But we were able to make it work. But it just seems like even within the past few years, even though live broadcasting has been around for a few years, it's still so much easier now. And just the ease of it, I think, you're able to do things a lot quicker you see people like you will go live like multiple times, in a day or whatever, like if they're trying to promote something. And so it just makes it much more of a smooth process. Just amazing to see.
We were on Periscope. I mean, we did Periscope and Facebook Live, but at that time, Periscope was the end thing. Right. And you were like, well, let's go live on Facebook too. And for me, that was kind of foreign. It was like, oh, well, hey, sure. But now it's the norm. Like, everybody's live on Facebook. And, man, it just shows you how quickly things change. And, I mean, and if we were to do something like that again, the technology is such where, you can use your own cameras and audio equipment to get better quality stuff, man. So it's like in just 2 years' time, the technology curve is just flipped again. And you can do some major things with the marketing and promotions.
Right. And it's real interesting. Let's see. I know we only have a few minutes. It's really interesting that you say that about the technology piece. Technology, that's what I do. But I mean, we've been, I know you all don't see this, but we've been trying to do this for the past, I guess, 45 minutes before we finally got the broadcast going. And the more technology you have, sometimes the more chances you have to mess it up, and the more chances you have to for something to go wrong. And that's exactly what was happening. And so, I was trying to do this on my desktop so I could save the video and then use the video during the workshop, and then tried a lot of different things, and then the thing that ended up actually working was just going live with my phone on Facebook. and that was after probably trying three or four other options. And so that just illustrates the fact that technology gives you options. And when you're committed to it, if one thing doesn't work, then don't give up on it. There's always something else that can be done if you are committed to getting it done.
Yeah, definitely.
That's just definitely something I wanted to highlight as well. But
yeah.
Is there anything within the next couple of minutes that you could share that you think might be of interest that might help somebody watching?
Yeah, definitely, man. Just with my journey with the book, I've really had to get out of my comfort zone in terms of bringing other people into this journey. And primarily, I mean, in terms of getting places to actually speak and talk about the book. You know, being a minister, I have, I guess you could say, prided myself on not running out looking for engagements, like places to speak. But since having the book, one thing that I found very necessary was to reach the people that I'm friends with, or that I have a relationship with them, and to tell them, hey, I just got this book out. I'd love to promote it and really meet an opportunity that says, hey, allow me to come to an event at your church to talk about the book and to, you know, bring some attention and or whatever, set up kind of an event that surrounds the book. And that was out of my comfort zone, because for me, it was like, no, I'm not asking anybody to come speak anywhere unless I get invited. And I still hold on to that as it relates to like my preaching and teaching ministry. But in terms of something specific like a book, I realized I had to really become my own publicist and not be timid. I wouldn't say that I was timid, but sometimes it's hard to talk about yourself for the fear of thinking that you'll be prideful or arrogant. But it's not arrogant at all to push good quality work, and it belongs to you. So I would encourage people to, you know, push your work, go for it. You know, you're pushing it because it's going to be a help to somebody else. And of course, it's mutually beneficial. It's going to be a help to people. It's going to be a help to you. But at the end of the day, you're doing it to give knowledge and insight to the world that is going to better them. And so when you look at it from that standpoint and not from that standpoint of, you know, I'm just trying to show out or show off, I think you'll have more success. Because with that, you know, really publicity and marketing is the name of the game. Like, if people don't know you have it, then, you know, you won't be able to sell anything. So, you know, having to get on your own pages and push your stuff and show people how to get to your materials. I think that's really important. You got to have a digital footprint these days. There are few people who do not have it and are doing amazing. And that's probably because they've been in the game long enough to where people already know who they are. Right. So they don't have to go the social media route. But I would encourage you, any avenue that you can get to social media wise, in which you can be consistent, go for it. So, you know, for your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, and if you can be consistent on the things, then go for it. You don't have to have all of the media networks, but, you know, as your team grows and you're able to have some people manage, then that may be a good thing to do. But I love to tether all my things together. So, you know, I'll be posting on Instagram, but whatever I post on Instagram is tethered to my Facebook and my Twitter, and my Twitter's hooked up to my Facebook. So it's like I'm just double dipping, man. If I tweet, it's going to be posted, and that way more people can know what's going on, man. So those are one of the biggest things too. And then doing stuff like this, you know, people are going to watch. They may stay on for a little bit. They may get off, but it's going to breed more exposure. People are going to share it. And while we're there, kellenbrooks.com is where you can go to purchase the book if you don't have it already. And all of the formats are available there. You can order the paperback, audio version, and electronic copy, man. So, yeah, social media is your friend. And then getting a guy, honestly, man, having you on the squad to look at what I had and to give me insight helped me so much, because one, it helped me see some blind spots that I didn't know were there. And then it gave me ideas that I just wouldn't have thought of. So the mantra is so true, that two heads are better than one. So even if you feel like you don't need help, get help just for more creativity, more ideas. And there are things that we talked about, say, 2 years ago, that we're just now rolling out. Like, we have a singles ministry that's rolling out a 5-week Bible study that's based on the book with curriculum as well. That came straight out of our conversations about, you know, expanding the longevity of the book through classes and curriculum and resources. So yeah, get somebody else to help and then go crazy on your social media. Those are two of the biggest things I can offer.
Very good. Very good. And I just wanted to mention real quick, the course that you have coming up, or the classes that you have coming up. You mentioned to me offline that, you are not the only one teaching these classes, but you have a team of people, teaching from their area of expertise. And
definitely,
again, that emphasizes, the importance of community and really getting other people involved. And when you get other people involved in the process, it just makes what you do better, not because you're necessarily lacking in a certain area, but it's just that when you combine more people who are, who do what they do, and are working within their anointing and in their wheelhouse, and you put all those talents and all those resources together, it just makes it that much better. And definitely, that is really the community aspect. That is definitely one of the 3 points that that we're covering this weekend with the social media theology, as far as what the essence of social media is all about and what the importance of building community through social media is all about. And so definitely good that you highlighted that. And so so again, to anybody who is watching this broadcast right now, you might be watching later, or those of you who are watching this and are at the workshop, definitely invite this brother to come to your church, speak to your singles ministry, even come speak to your to your young people, your youth, your young adults about about how to do this thing right, about how to do it with integrity. And when you invite them, let them know that you that you heard it from me, or that you talked to me. And so definitely I always believed in what this brother is doing, and I pray that you will invite him to your church so that he can bless you with his ministry, and that you can get his book, and you can be blessed with the insights as well. So so I just want to thank you, Kelly, man, for coming on, just talking to us for a few minutes, and sharing your insight with us, man. God bless you, and continue to prosper you in your ministry, man.
Yes, sir. Likewise, man. I pray your event goes great. I know it's going to be phenomenal, and I'm trying to send somebody from my church there so they can bring that stuff back, man. Help us out. So.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Cool. You too, man. Peace.
All right. God bless.
Before we go, I want to leave you with a few moments of inspiration.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your man, Marcus, and I am your digital pastor. And I know that everybody, we've all heard how important it is to have multiple sources of income. And anybody who has successfully built wealth over time will tell you the same thing. But I want to talk today about multiple sources of measurement, or just multiple metrics, especially with respect to this fitness journey that I've been on for a while. I've been doing real good for a while. And those of you who've been following me, you've been seeing I've been real consistent every day. And just the outpouring of love on my most recent post, just about my belt loop and everything. I just appreciate you all so much. I appreciate your encouragement, your prayers, your support. But I want to talk about this today with respect to fitness is just that if you're only looking at one source of measurement, then you can kind of get discouraged sometimes, because you have to be able to put all your different metrics together and to really get an accurate picture of what's going on. OK, so if you just look at the scale, and people have said this before, if you just look at the scale is not going to tell you everything that's going on, because you may be losing inches in vital places, but you might not be losing weight overall. But the inches are very important, because it's going to help you to, fit into clothes, and it's going to help you to achieve the look that you want to achieve. All right. But not even just looking at the scale, but if you look at other things and you let that be your indication, then you could also get discouraged. Like me, I know one thing with me is my face is very telling. Most of the time, my face is very telling if I'm losing weight or if I'm gaining weight. And I know if I'm falling off, it's going to show up in my face before it does anywhere else. And knowing this, a lot of times I get fixated even more so on my face than I do the scale, to be very honest with you. You know, for instance, the past, about the past, I guess, 4 or 5 days, my face is kind of blown up a little bit. My face is bigger now than it was a couple weeks ago. But yet, I've still been losing weight on the scale. I've still, you all saw the post, you know what I'm saying? The belt is coming in even more, you know what I'm saying? I'm fitting in clothes better now than I was several weeks ago when my face was a little bit thinner. And so, you know, I don't know exactly why that is, but if I were to get discouraged by looking at my face and seeing it kind of puffy in a few places that it wasn't puffy last week, then, you know, I would be forgetting the fact that, you know, I'd be forgetting what the scale said. I'd be forgetting, you know, what my belt loop says. I'd be forgetting, you know, how I feel, my fitness level when I'm in the gym every day doing what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So if we get fixated on one source of measurement and forget about all the others, then that discourages us. But we have to be able to look at that thing. We have to be able to evaluate all the sources of measurement together to get an overall picture of exactly what's going on. I know this is something that's very important in ministry as well. Those of you who are familiar in the church communication space with Brady Shearer, CEO of Pro Tools, the Pro Tools team, man, they're coming out with Pro Church Tools, not Pro Tools, Pro Church Tools. They're coming out with great information, man. Great content every single day, and the team came out with this this new tool. And I think it was like 11 steps or 11 different metrics or something like that for how to really evaluate church growth. Because for a very long time, you know, all we're looking at is, you know, how many members did we bring in this year, or what's their average weekend attendance, or how much money are you bringing in, you know, year over year, you know, how many baptisms did you have, or how many people made a confession to Christ this year? All those things are important, but if we just look at, like, if we just look at attendance, you know what I'm saying, and let that be, you know, the metric, or if we just look at, you know, how much money did you raise, and we just let that be the metric, you know what I'm saying, then we're missing out on a lot of other different things. And, you know, you could be, you know, you could be bringing in, you know, thousands and thousands of people every single weekend, but you still, you know, may not be, you know, hitting the mark with very important metrics under the hood that could really impact your ministry, or that could really either send your ministry into a tailspin if you don't handle them, or if you do handle them, could really boost you up even more. And so, you know, multiple sources of measurement, man, is something that's very, very important. And I pray that it is something that is something key that that we will take heed of, and that we will evaluate as we are on this journey of continuous improvement, continuous growth, continuous, you know, seeking to better our lives. And so I pray that prayer, you know, for each of you today, is just that you do whatever you need to do to evaluate, to self-evaluate over and over again, to get better. Because we can't stay the same, because if we're not growing, we're dying. And I don't want you to die. I want you to live. So God bless.
Thank you for listening to Your Digital Pastor. Until next time, be encouraged and be empowered.